Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, here's Rob Ray with Shope and the Bulldog. Brought to you by Jim Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. By the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
Rob Ray in a moment. The Sabres are in Anaheim tonight, so get a nap in. 10 o'clock, 10:30 tomorrow for the Kings. If this were an NBA season, that would not happen. That's not possible anymore. The NBA decided to not have any games start as late as 10:30. You know why?
They hate the Pacific time zone.
They want people to watch them.
Ah.
They want the games to be more available to people, to the places where the people are that watch the games.
It's all about money.
Sure. Rob, what do you think of this idea? Now, you're out there, and you're probably already adjusted to Western time, but the NBA, there's no 10:30 games anymore, Rob. That's too late for the East Coast, so they're just 10 is the latest, I guess. And you have 10 tonight, 10:30 tomorrow. Maybe hockey should do this.
So what do? You during the week, you have a 5 o'clock game out here, you'd have nobody in the building.
Just 7 o'clock is just the latest it could be, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, still.
Yes,
so no. Not so bad, I guess.
Yeah, you could do it.
I would do it. I would like to come and, you know, add the weekends, too. Every weekend game should be in the afternoon. Should never be a nighttime game.
Ooh, how about that one, Bulldog?
How about you like that? Especially Sundays.
The afternoon games have grown on me. I used to dislike them, but now I kind of like having them and then having the night free. If I want to watch more hockey, great. I choose to do that. If I want to do something else, I feel sort of free to do that. The afternoon thing has grown on me. I don't know that I'd want it all the time, but I do kind of like it.
Well, you know, it helps even with travel. Like we play at home at 3. We get here by 9:30 the other night. So after the game, so it was, you know, with the time change and everything. So it makes that part of it so much better for the players as well. So I think there's a lot more pros than cons.
Of course, for me, the best time the Sabres games would be is 10 a.m. That would be perfect for me. 10 a.m. is perfect. I'm up.
I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, morning's being completely shunned here.
Being a morning person I am, I'd be up and going, and yeah, I could be to bed at a normal time, yeah.
While we're on the subject of time, how did leaving right after the game on Monday work out? What time did you guys get to California, and do you think
9:30.
You just said that, I'm sorry.
That's right, if you paid attention, it's great.
Sorry.
It's great.
I was multitasking.
Like I said, you're here at 9:30, and you've already kind of, mellowed out, and you're not, it's not as if you're going to do anything when you get in, but at least you can get to bed, you can start adjusting to the time a little bit. You know, they had noon practice yesterday, so, you know, it gives you a chance to get up and in the morning and kind of settle into it, and I think it's great. The more time you have here to be able to do that adjusting, you come in the day before, you know, that first night, you never sleep, so, you know, you've got that extra night to make that happen. I think it's all around good.
What do you remember about playing out there on these trips? Like, were they trips you looked forward to?
Yeah, sometimes. I think it was a little different when there was just one team. But, you know, when you come out and you have to play the multiple games, then it kind of changed a little bit. You always look forward to going to L.A. and only because there was a lot to do with it. There was always, you know, high-profile people there. There was a lot of things you kind of got to do that you normally wouldn't in other places that, you know, you kind of look forward to that once a year. But, you know, now and even back then, once everybody kind of came into the league, the other two teams, then it kind of took that little bit of oomph out of it a little bit.
What is one thing that you're describing that you can tell us about? Like, did you ever go to the Tonight Show or to a TV show?
You know,
anything?
I think it was was more like before and after, because a lot of guys would know people out here, Forum Club and all that, after the game, where, you know, anybody that was anybody at a game would be at afterwards, and you're kind of, that was one of those places somebody had to get kicked out early so you could get there and get your spot and before the coaches got into it type thing. So, yeah.
Who would you
yeah.
see, like Goldie Hawn, Alan Thicke? Who's somebody more contemporary you would see at these Forum Club?
There was those people, too. A lot of, you know, rock stars sometimes. You know, different guys mm-hmm. would be there. John Candy was always there.
John Candy.
The beginning a lot. So.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah.
He's from Canada.
You've made the point over the years here, you know, many times, this early season road trip, whether it's California or just somewhere where the team gets out of town for, you know, a few days together, and that early in the season can bring a team together, you know? I'm wondering, probably that point has been made mostly during bad starts to seasons. Here the Sabres are 5-0-1. Like, do they need to get to know one another well and bond, or do you think a lot of that has already happened?
I think a lot has happened. You know, even the new guys that are there are guys that have been around. But, you know, even when you're away like this, you see, you know, a lot of the older guys, you know, even Marcus Johansson yesterday with Olsen, you know, outside. You know, he literally taken him aside and got the you know, replays of things on his phone showing him. But, you know, just things like that you could do now that you're not going to do, you know, any other time. Here, well, we're out here, we play tonight, tomorrow night, and then get Friday off. It's a day off for the team. So, you know, that'll be the time the guys can kind of, you know, go in that direction and do whatever they're going to do as a group. So, you know, that makes it nice that you can have a full day and you can go do whatever you want and not be bothered. And that'll make a big difference. But, you know, I think that being away maybe isn't quite the same, but it's still a really good opportunity for, you know, the guys to be together. And, you know, what I noticed too now with this group, it's not two or three guys going in different directions. It's large groups of them. And that's good to see, because that was the same as back when we played. Everybody would go to dinner to the same place, and the two or three guys that didn't, you know, you sat and talked about all night because, you know, you were not offended by it, but just always wondering why maybe they wouldn't come and you know, be a part of the team. So It's good to see them hanging out in large numbers.
With Rob Ray on the Western Hotline, the Sabres are in Anaheim tonight, 10 o'clock start. So, Rob, I think a lot of fans are comparing the Sabres' start with the winning streak last year. And so we're all asking each other, like, do you buy this? Like, is it fool's gold again, or is it for real, or what's going on? Because, of course, expectations weren't super high. And the game on Monday was different than most, if not all, of those games in that winning streak last year, in that it was so solid. Like, defensively is where they're really killing it so far this year, and plenty of offense is coming from that. You have the power play too, and you have 25 goals here in four games. How do you compare this year and last year, and maybe would you also look at Monday's game as like a really good sign in that way?
I think Monday's game defensively was probably the best game they've played this year. I think that, you know, you're going against a big team that wanted to come in, they wanted to lean on you a little bit. They were supposed to be a little upset of the way their season has gone, and even between periods, talking to Steve Smith, he says, you know what, we're not creating much, but we're not giving anything up. And he says, you know, we're in the middle of a chess match here, and we can't blink. So I give them a lot of credit that they were in that game and they didn't crack. They stayed with that game plan from start to finish, and they wore them down. They wore and frustrated Dallas down, and you see that happening more and more. You know, last year in that 10-game streak, you know, they won some games they shouldn't, and, you know, they found ways, which was all great, great. But you look at the game, you know, on Monday, they hung in there, did it, never strayed from their game plan, and then completely took the game over. And, you know, they had Dallas, you know, Jamie Benn and these guys doing things that they shouldn't have been doing at the time because they're wasting energy instead of, you know, trying to create some offense. So I think it's totally different the way they're doing it now. It's a more complete game. It's a more focused game. And I think that it's not relying on, you know, two or three guys or a line or whatever it may be. All four are contributing in the back end. You're getting good goaltending. So it's not, yeah, maybe the scores sometimes are close, but in a lot of cases, what they're doing, it's not close.
The 10 games they won in a row last year, Bulldog has pointed out many times, 7 were in overtime or shootout, and 9 were one-goal games. There was one game that they won 5-2 against the Flyers. Every other game was a one-goal game.
Yeah.
Flyers game, that would have been Thanksgiving Eve, I think. If I remember correctly, they jumped out to a big lead and then sort of hung on a little bit, even though it, you know, 5-2 was pretty comfortable. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I think, you know, if you're paying attention to some of the, you know, shot attempts and the high danger stuff especially is very favorable to the team in general, and that you know, I think. That's better defense. That's getting out of your own zone faster, like not being as hemmed in for long, helps a lot. And that is going to help your goaltending. You know, I don't expect these guys to cruise through the year with a .930 save percentage like they both have right now. But I would expect it to improve pretty noticeably if they continue to limit those high danger scoring opportunities.
Yeah, and you got guys now that mobile D that can get back there. And, you know, they're getting out quick. It's something they talk about every night, making that first pass coming out. But a lot has to do with the way they're playing defensively. It's not just to the D going back. They've got a theory that when the puck is turned over in the offensive zone, everybody has to be back in position by the time that puck hits the blue line at the other end. You're back. And you're seeing guys bust their butt to get back and be in that position so much more than you've seen forever, that is what's making the difference. You're not watching somebody lollydag back through the neutral zone and just waiting for maybe that long lead pass or something. They bust back, and then they figure out what they're going to do from there. And then most of the time they got control of the puck. It's a quick pass. They're quick enough that, you know, they're gone the other way again. And I think they've realized that they can create a heck of a lot more offense you know, if they get back quicker and help out, because too many times they're getting back in the zone and, you know, you're running around, and as soon as you get making that first pad pass or second bad pass, you're hemmed in for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not happening now because they're back and they're in good position, and it's defensive first, and then they move on to the offense.
Have you had an opportunity to talk to Marco Scandella at all so far this year? Because he's playing with Joakim Harju, and like together, like that's been a very good tandem. And I think Joakim Harju has been very good for Scandella, and maybe in some other ways, Scandella has been good for Joakim Harju. But I like seeing, there was one breakdown that I saw on Twitter today of Scandella sort of deferring, was the word used by the person who posted this, and forgive me, I'm not sure who it was, but like, look, you're good at making this pass, so instead of me forcing something, I'm just going to give it to you and let you do this. And like, everybody wins there, right? I'm out of the zone, I've got a good pass, and you know, you're feeling good about their performance. I think the kid has had a real positive impact on him.
Yeah, I think the kid's much better in a defensive zone than what he is. So, you know, anybody that, you know, understood that, you would say, okay, then you get back, you make that pass, I'll, you know, look out defensively here in front of the net, I'll slow guys up and add to that side. And you go to the other end, you know, Marco likes to be the guy that jumps in a little bit and gets involved offensively that way, where Joakim Harju is maybe, I don't know if he's as comfortable jumping in yet. He does a little bit, but not, you know, as much as, say, a Marco would. So you kind of give and take at each end. And, you know, just in talking to Marco, it's all comes down to this guy is he was wound up tight. He was wound up tight, and now he says, I can just go play. So the difference with him is, you know, playing relaxed and knowing that, you know, you're not going to get ate up if you make a mistake, and you got somebody of quality to play with. So, you know, when you've got two quality guys instead of one and trying to ham and egg another one in there, then, you know, it takes a lot of pressure off you.
It sounds good. It probably gets harder when you play more games and then you go play Boston, and Boston's coach is like, all right, when it's 6-10, 10's always the guy who's going to throw the puck up the ice.
Right.
Like, well, it's going to start happening already because, you know, as soon as you have that success and people start talking, then they're going to start digging deeper and trying to figure out how everything works. You know, out here, all the talk is with Dallas Eakins is the power play for the Sabres, and how do you stop it? And, you know, he's telling everybody how he's planning on stopping the Sabres power play here tonight. But, you know, little things like that, they're going to start getting keyed on. And it's going to be up to the Sabres side, the players and coaches, to become a little more creative and adjust things as they happen. So, yeah, with success comes a lot more pressure, too, you know, because they're going to be working that much harder to trying to solve it.
With success comes pressure, and I think what also you were talking about before in terms of effort is something you're going to get when the season isn't lost yet. You know, like it's right now, the beginning of the year, everybody's fresh, everybody's going hard. And when a team, I think you'd agree, when a team gets to a point, even as soon as by the middle of the season, like has happened here, and it's kind of over, then you're going to see signs of laziness. You're going to see give up, you know, and it's not because they don't care. It's just it's not worth as much. So can this team stay competitive enough so that the core guys all want to just keep giving that much to it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they've got a belief amongst them that they're, you know, they can compete. I think that it's only been a small sample so far, but, you know, I think the guys know that what is being shown to them will work, and it's a matter of them, you know, doing it every night, that it's going to give you a chance. You're not going to win them all, but it's going to give you a chance to win every night. And by doing that, I think you're seeing a lot of individual success for guys that when they see that, that's going to entice them even more to play that way because they all want to have their individual success, which, you know, you don't blame them. That's what it's all about. But I think that, yeah, if they can keep playing and being competitive every night, you're going to have those guys. And a lot of the time, too, when you're losing that pressure, you start practicing more, you start pushing more, and you get wore down more. You know, now you can go and take a day like yesterday or a day like Friday, and unless things totally, you know, crumble here in the next two games, you can sit back on a Friday and relax and have some fun and just, you know, smile and get away from it. If you're not winning those days that you have off, you don't get away from it. You sit there and you think about it, and you don't maybe relax quite as much, and so it doesn't do you as much good as what it does when you are, you know, playing better.
Have you made your plans for Friday yet?
No.
Want to see how these two games go first?
No, they all want to go into San Francisco again. Been there, did it.
You know, I did something cool in Florida. I guess this was 2 days ago. I went to a place called Gatorland. You probably would have liked it.
I don't know how many gators they have in San Jose.
No, you probably can't find Gatorland, but it was some sort of cool one-off place to us anyway. Like, we go down there every year and kind of do the same things. But we, you know, dug a little deeper and found this Gatorland, Rob. Gators, just, you know, too many to count.
That'd be cool, though.
It was. You know what? I had another funny thought. I'll tell you. So, you know, you see people sometimes, like you see people sometimes, I have not rehearsed this and I'm sort of worried already. You see people sometimes who have one arm.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe you think something about it, you know, I don't always think something about it. Maybe I usually don't or almost never do. It's if you think about it, you go like, oh, that person, you know, had something happen.
And how that happened.
They lost an arm. There was a guy at Gatorland with one arm, and I immediately thought, uh-oh.
Gator bite.
Yeah, maybe that happened here. You know, how about that, Bulldog? Like, so you see somebody in an airport, like, oh, well, maybe you don't even notice. You don't even really ponder it.
At Gatorland. Context matters, yeah.
At Gatorland, we're like, you know, maybe that guy's arm got bitten off by a gator.
The guy in Happy Gilmore, he lost his arm trying to get his ball.
All the more reason to make that connection.
Right, there you go.
Yeah.
I love that he went. I think I went to this same place like in 1973, Rob.
Yes.
With my family on a Florida vacation. Like he posted pictures of Gatorland, and I'm like, I've been to Gatorland. He got back here. Did it say anywhere there like how long they've been in business?
1949.
Right, 1949. So 73. I'm in the window there. I think I went to the same place. You got to check out Gatorland next time.
I got to check it out next time in Florida.
That's the point of all
this.
They
won't let you hunt them though.
What about fish? Like, throw a line in. I see those guys on TV. They use big, heavy fishing poles, and they catch them that way.
Yeah. I mean, again, they don't want you catching.
Just catch and release. Just catch.
Catch and release.
I think it's take the hook out and go again.
Yeah, you tell them that. Listen, all I'm doing, I'm going to put them right back.
Right.
No plans to keep the animal.
We're back to the guy missing an arm now.
Right.
Right back to that.
They have a thing where for $5, they gave our kids each 3 fish. And you just, you know, put them on a line and you feed the gators.
Yeah.
They had that, but, you know, nothing more than that.
That's pretty cool.
All right, Rob, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, I look forward to it.
All right.
Me too.
Have a good broadcast tonight. We'll be watching / listening.
Yeah, you won't be watching. It's too late. Come on.
We'll let you know tomorrow if you watch the game. If we didn't watch the game,
tape it or whatever you do.
If we didn't watch it, you'll have to tell us about it.
You shut up.
You'll tell us about
it. I need this for
I'm old too. I don't stay up past 9:30.
All right, buddy. All right. Have a good night.
Take care.
There's Rob Ray on WGR, brought to you by Jim's Stakeout, because hockey fans eat hoagies, by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. I'm going to take a run at this tonight. I think I can. I'm telling you, I've been up watching stuff way later than normal. I think I can do it. It's just a matter of how much garbage I'll eat while I'm doing it.
I think you can do it.
Because, like, to stay awake, it's like, you know, okay, popcorn. I just had popcorn. Okay, bowl of cereal. Like, what am I gonna get? This is no way I'm just gonna sit there for 3 hours from 10 o'clock until 1 in the morning without jamming salsa in my face.
Ice cream, maybe.
Ice cream, yeah, right?
That's the play.
Beer. Right?
That's a win, right?
It's only beer. I made chicken tenders for my kids when they get home from school. And there were 10, and I ate 3 of them. For me, this might come down to how if they eat all the other 7. If they leave a couple, I'm likelier to watch more of the game, I think, if they leave me some chicken fingers. Sal coming up next here on WGR.
Al Capaccio.
Sal!
Capaccio.
Sal!
Capaccio.
Sal!
Capaccio.
Sal!
Capaccio.
Sal!
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio. On WGR.
Our friend Tom Sitch, who is super smart and great to work with. What a little legacy that is, that song that he made for Sal in his stint with us. Maybe his second stint with us. Tom moved to Wisconsin. Mike Shope and the Bulldog joining us now, as you know, on the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio working the double today on This Morning, hosting with Jeremy, and then out at the stadium for Media Day. Sal, what's up?
Just sitting here playing with my radio.com rewind. It's pretty cool.
Here we
it's
go.
Pretty freaking cool, man.
Yes. So you can hear the song over and over and over and over.
I can do that. That's right.
Nice.
Yes.
So Josh Allen has an injury, it says here.
He does?
Oh, you don't know either. Okay. Listed with a hand injury, but was a full participant in practice. This is news to you?
Oh, I only look. When it comes out, I look for limited and DNP. I didn't even notice the name.
Okay.
But anyway, I do know this. During the last game, he was on the sidelines. He came off one at one point, and they just checked his hand for a second. It was not even a big deal. I didn't even note it on the broadcast because, you know, typically trainers go up to guys, they talk to him for a minute, and he walked away. So it doesn't look like anything. But he was a full participant, then I'm not really worried about it. But I do see it now. But what happens is when the injury report comes out, I check for any limited or DNPs that were not originally expected. And I saw John Brown, and I noted that. And I did not even notice the name, but thank you for noting that, because obviously it is something to note.
How about John Brown? What's that?
You know, that's something we don't know yet, Mike. I mean, it could have happened. Something obviously happened at practice because he was not expected to be limited. We weren't told that before practice by Sean McDermott. We were only told it was going to be Matt Milano and Corey Thompson. And then, you know, I didn't see John Brown in the locker room after practice. So, you know, you hope it's not serious. We'll get an update more from Sean McDermott tomorrow. We'll see if he's out on the practice field. But, you know, it could be anything from something minor that they just wanted to get him off the field. It's Wednesday. Let's make sure he's okay, to something that, oh, something happened, you know, like the Tyler Kroft thing a few weeks ago when he was supposed to return. So let's hope it's the former and not the latter.
Right. And the other big one there on the limiteds, I would say, is Matt Milano. He left the Tennessee game with a hamstring injury as well.
Yep.
And he's had, I feel like there's some history there, right? Like, he's had hamstring issues already in his short career as a Bill, right?
Well, he missed the playoff game in Jacksonville because of one.
Right.
That's what I think. That's probably what you're thinking of.
Right.
And then last year he broke the bone.
Right.
At the end of the year, when he got rolled up on against the Jets, I think it was at the end of the season. I don't think he's had other hamstring issues. I'd have to go back and look, but that's the big one he did have. Jacksonville.
I guess
the playoff.
You know what I'm thinking of is that off season. You noted a few times that it was taking him a long time to like get up and running in off season activities.
Yep.
I think because of
right
that.
And you know, it's obviously something that you don't want to see, especially again, you know. Running back Devin Singletary, hamstring injury. They took a lot of time here to make sure that he's healed, and we don't even know if he's playing, but hopefully he is this week. But Matt Milano, again, athletic guy, sideline to sideline type of athlete. You want to be careful with this. He was running today. I have video of that if people want to check it out on my Twitter feed or in the story I wrote today about practice at WGR550.com. And he was off to the side running, but that doesn't mean he's going to be available on Sunday. But that's at least a good sign that, you know, basically a week and a half after that happening, he's running on the side and jogging.
Yeah, playing a team like the Dolphins, what they are this year, I think to some extent or another, most teams would almost definitely be a little careful going into these games. I'm thinking more about on offense, you know. You just don't want to make big mistakes that make it possible to get the other team, you know, going and give them free points. And I wonder if that could lead to like just sort of a more conservative approach or game plan. Teams, not just the Bills, any team, when you line up to play the Dolphins or one of these really terrible teams, you feel like that makes sense?
Boy, there's a lot. I don't know if I understand what you're saying quite.
You'd
much.
Be
so
more
try to state it again for me. I'm
you'd
sorry.
Be more conservative playing Miami because you just you know you don't think they have much to offer and you don't want to beat yourself.
Sure. I think that's possible, Mike. You know, you go into every game thinking, like, what's the clearest, safest path to victory, right? And the safest path to victory is don't give them a stupid turnover. Don't give them something that, you know, they can turn into 6 points and you're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And, you know, if you just play a more conservative game, that's fine. But, you know, I think that the Bills have played pretty much this year, not necessarily conservative, so to speak. They've let Josh Allen throw the football, and I don't think they're going to shy away from that. But, yeah, I think that especially if the game goes on, you get a bit of a lead. You're like, hey, you know what? We aren't really threatened by this team necessarily. As long as we just kind of take care of the ball and do our thing, we can get out of here, stay healthy, and move on to next week.
You know, you also could be more conservative with bringing guys back too, which circles back to like
that's
Milano,
right.
You know, John Brown. Even I mean, he's been the Bills' clear-cut number one receiver, but like I wonder if it's a little iffy at all. Whether you know, if you were playing New England, you might be inclined to like, all right, let's push him through. We're playing Miami, all right, Robert Foster, today's your day. You know, like I mean,
yeah.
I would understand if you were doing that. I wonder just what we're in for on Sunday watching this Miami team play. I heard Murph and Steve Tasker on One Bills Live, the show that precedes ours, and Murph made a point about how, like, in the last day or two, he has started watching Miami games, something that he does, you know, that week's opponent, and for him, he said it really stands out just how lacking they are. Like, just not competitive. Different spots on the field, they're inferior, and you can really see it. And I don't know when I've watched an NFL game where that was just easy to spot.
It's really, really bad there. They have basically torn their team down to guys that are not NFL caliber, as you guys were talking about earlier, and you know, they have a quarterback who's been in this league for 15 years who unfortunately is in this situation, and he's just going to have to go out there and throw the ball up and hope that his guys get it, because that's kind of maybe the only way that they'll have any semblance of trying to get some points, it seems like. And I don't know. I was thinking about this earlier. I mean, there have been 0-16 teams in this league. The Dolphins might get there, but even if they don't, they may be the worst team in NFL history. And I'm not trying to be funny when I say that. I sent you a stat earlier. I tweeted a stat earlier.
Right.
I think it's absolutely mind-blowing to think about this stat, which is the NFL record for point differential in a season, like worst point differential, was the 1981 Baltimore Colts, and they were a minus 274. This is a 16-game season.
Right.
Minus 274.
Somebody was worse. Tampa Bay was worse in a shorter season.
Correct. They were minus 281, I think it was. The Dolphins are on pace right now to be a minus 441. They are already at 138 through five games, and that includes a one-point loss, by the way.
Yes, it does.
It's their point differential is negative 27 right now, I believe it is.
Per game.
Per game.
Yeah, and your point about whether they win one or not is right, because had they made a two-point conversion to beat Washington,
right,
it would be the same thing.
They'd just That's exactly right.
2 points different.
Yeah, so I think they could very well be the worst team in NFL history, which meaning they have the least talent maybe that we've ever seen on a football team. And I mean, it's by design, I guess, is what they're doing, but it doesn't mean that they can't win a game. That's what's crazy about it is because
right,
it's the NFL, and you know, you put the ball on the carpet a couple times, Ryan Fitzpatrick throws it over the top one time to Devontae Parker or something, and suddenly, like, boom, you know what I mean? Something's going on here.
They're
going
to play the Giants. They're going to play the Bengals. They're going to play the Jets twice. They're going to play the Bills twice, if I may. Like, they're going to have games. Well, they're a 16.5-point underdog against the Bills this week, but, you know, they're not playing New England and Dallas every week, or, you know, maybe
right,
there's a better example than Dallas. Anyway, before you go, the Jalen Ramsey trade.
I do not like it for the Rams. I don't think that they're just one player away this year from winning the Super Bowl. They have too many issues, especially they have an offensive line issue. And then on top of that, what really confuses me about what they're doing is they seem like their window of opportunity is now, which I get that if that's what they're trying to do, but they have no way to replenish what they're doing here. They're building a team kind of an opposite of what we know how to build a team, which is they've already paid their quarterback. He's no longer on his rookie deal starting next year, by the way. And they now paid a running back, which is usually not smart. And they're paying a defensive lineman. I guess he's really good. I get that. But they have no draft picks. They would not have a first-round pick for five straight years if they go through this without actually getting back in the first round, which
right,
is how you replenish those higher-paid guys with cheaper guys to offset those salaries. They don't even have that coming up. And I think it's kind of weird for them. And they're not going to be better. Even with Jalen Ramsey, they're not better than Seattle or San Francisco this year.
Right. Goff is their last first-round pick?
Yeah, 2016.
I should have said the Dolphins play the Browns. That's what I should have said when I was
17,
talking
18,
about
19. They haven't had a first-round pick, and they are scheduled to not have one in 20 or 21.
Okay. Thank you, Sal.
You're welcome.
There you go. Sal's appearance with us brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, outlet liquor.
More on the Dolphins in 16 minutes. Radio.com insider Armando Salguero from Miami has been on our show many times. We'll talk to him about all this stuff, and I kind of just want to know professionally what it's like to cover it, you know? I do think, like, maybe there are Dolphin guys, not that they'd be happy with their record or this status, but that, you know, like, yeah, this is my chance to play. So, you know, I'm not longing to be on New England or San Francisco. Like, I wouldn't be on those teams. I don't know. It just could be really interesting. It could be a book, and he'd be the guy to write it. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Stay with us. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Am I supposed to say something?
No, you're not. Sneaky Joe's doing a solid for me here.
Yes.
I'm playing for the first time out in a while with my buddies Leroy Towns on Friday night at Ironworks. It's a second anniversary. Well, it's Tom Petty's birthday, the late, great Tom Petty. And so Leroy Towns is playing at Ironworks, and I'm going to play a little guitar on this song, which I'm kind of excited about.
This is the song. Okay.
This is the song.
I knew it was Tom Petty, but I didn't know it was this song.
Yeah.
What is the name of it?
You Wreck Me.
In a good way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think it's a positive. It's a positive jam.
You wouldn't want to be associated.
No. So it's just, you know, they did it last year, and it was a great, great night. I couldn't make it, but I'm really looking forward to Friday night, and I hope lots of people. I know lots of people are going to turn out. I hope somebody who's hearing this and hearing me promote it comes out because they're hearing me do it.
I like it.
Should be a fun night. It's been, I don't know, schedules just haven't worked out. I haven't had a chance to play with them in quite a while. So it's the first time in a while, and I'm pumped.
When you do that, do you take someone else's place?
No.
Song?
Usually, yes. My buddy Harmony, who's in that band, usually steps aside, and I play on his gear and often play on his guitar.
Shouldn't he just play harmony?
Yeah, right. But with this show, I am one of, I don't know, there might be as many as a dozen or more people who are sitting in for a song or two. So there'll be a separate setup, a separate rig, they call it. In fact, I'm bringing my, I volunteered. I said, I'm going to get to play. I'll bring my, I got a nice Fender amp. Everybody that's joining that night can use that.
All right.
So, yeah, the whole band will be intact, and I'll just be a third guitar player. Fourth, if you count Beav, he plays acoustic.
Is it bad that I didn't know the name of it, the song?
No, I don't think so.
I've heard it.
Yeah. You go see him, and he's like, I think we talk about Fogerty like this, where you would just go see somebody like this that has the career that they've had, like song after song, you're like, oh, yeah, that's him too. Oh, that's one of the, yeah. Petty is definitely one of those artists, so.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a fun night. Thank you, Joe. Ironworks, Leroy Towns, Friday night.
Armando Salguero coming up after the update here on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.